I'm speaking today with Anna Eastman, who is a candidate for HISD trustee in District 1. Anna, first question I'd like to ask is, why are you running for this office?
Well, Charles, I'm running for this office because I believe passionately that every child has equal access to an excellent education. I'm a parent that's been involved in HISD for 7 years with my own family. I have 3 children that are in the public schools. I've been a community leader here in the Heights area throughout that time, and actually before my kids were in the public schools. And when I learned that there was not going to be an incumbent in this race, I felt like it was a great window of opportunity that I wanted to take advantage of.
Now, of course, the big news within HISD is that just recently they have hired a new superintendent by the name of Terry Greer. Tell me your impressions of Mr. Greer.
Well, I think that he's a potentially very exciting person to have involved at HISD. I've read a lot of the press on him, and I think it's all over the place, but he has a lot of supporters, and he has a record of being willing to make changes to work to close achievement gaps and not only get kids performing at minimum standards, but require that schools are offering things like AP courses for all kids. So they're graduating more students and they're graduating them with higher levels of education so they have more options.
HISD's dropout rate is a big issue, and one of the things Mr. Greer has a track record on and says he will focus on here is improving dropout, reducing dropout rate, increasing the graduation rate. How should he go about doing that?
Well, I think we have to look at where we're succeeding in HISD. And I think we have to look at why we have dropout problems and what those problems are. And we need to identify and collect data on the kids that are dropping out. I think the dropout problem, there isn't a dropout problem, there are dropout problems. We have kids that come into our school system who are immigrating from other countries, and they get in there in ninth grade and it's not working, and so we lose them. And then we have a lot more kids who've been with us since kindergarten. And I think that Dr. Greer and the board really need to look at when we start losing those kids and identify what their problems are and engage on the school level but also on the parent and community level and figure out how we can reach those kids at the earliest place possible to give them the tools they need to continue learning and finish and graduate.
One of the things that our new superintendent has a reputation for is a somewhat contentious relationship with the school board of trustees out in San Diego and in North Carolina before that. Questions about him acting on his own without sufficient levels of input from the board and the public. On the one hand, I think everybody wants a superintendent who's going to be a problem solver. But, on the other hand, you need accountability. How should he balance those two things, and what kind of a relationship do you want him to have with the HISD Board of Trustees?
Well, I hope that the board and the superintendent will work together, and he will engage and act as a leader with the board, and they will remain in communication and informed on decisions that are going to be put forth in our community and that the board has to vote on to approve. I think that's one of the problems we've seen with Dr. Saavedra and his board, that the board didn't always have buy-in on things that he was promising to the community. And I think that you need someone that's strong in the superintendent position that's willing to take what are sometimes unpopular positions through research and communicating with our communities, we've discovered changes need to be made. But I think you also need to have someone that's willing to be engaged and communicate with the people on the board.
Of course, the interesting thing is that the search for the superintendent was all done outside the public eye.
Mm-hmm.
None of the candidate names were known. I at least was one who thought that shouldn't have been done that way. Do you believe that the search was done, as it was, keeping the candidates' names out of the public domain? Do you think that was proper, or would you prefer to have done it in a more Or do you think it was okay the way they did it?
I think it would have been nice when they had narrowed it down to a small group for the public to be able to know what they were considering, who they were considering, and why they were considering them. I have read a lot about the process and know that, you know, there's an argument for allowing the people who are being seriously considered the privacy so that their jobs that they're in aren't jeopardized. But I also know that people talk in these communities, and so I don't know how accurate that privacy is. I do think that the public should have some knowledge of it, but I wasn't sitting at that table and don't know exactly why it was decided to keep completely private until the end. I think it's complicated, and I think you're always going to have people on both sides of the issue.
HISD recently started televising to a limited extent its board meetings on local public access channels. Do you think that HISD conducts its own business sufficiently in the public eye, or do you think they should be doing more on that?
Well, I think starting to have them available on public access channels is really important. I think it's difficult for individuals to make it to board meetings on a regular basis, and I think it is important that information and process is available to the community and that they try to reach it on as many levels as they can so that people can have access to the information.
Okay. You mentioned Dr. Saavedra, our outgoing state chair, who I believe his last day will be August 31st. What's your assessment of his time as superintendent?
Well, I think we've seen gains in a lot of areas of HISD. I think he and the board have implemented some significant changes in our process. I think that he could have been a lot more active and visible and engaged with the public and the members of the community and people participating in the system. And communicated better with his board and as a leader in that way.
You mentioned that sometimes some of the things Dr. Saavedra wanted to do didn't necessarily have enough buy-in from the Board of Trustees. I think one of the things where there was a conflict was recently over some promises he made about certain construction projects that resulted from the bond referendum of 2007. That was just recently kind of forced to a vote over the objections of Trustee Larry Marshall. What's your take on that situation? How do you think that should have been handled?
Well, first of all, I think that schools had been identified that were in great disrepair or their facilities were greatly lacking to provide a suitable environment to educate kids in. And I think that the superintendent should have had buy-in from the board before he promised these communities to make those improvements. And I think it turned out to be a very difficult situation. The schools need the improvements. We don't need to have kids in buildings where classes of 31 children are being held and janitors' closets and their facilities aren't functioning at, if not a state-of-the-art level, at least the kids are safe and they have the materials and adequate spaces that they need. And I think it all just goes back into communication. I think that the superintendent needs to be plugged in with the board about these conversations he's having with other stakeholders and promises that are being made. And I think that the communities need to be on board with those changes that are happening as well.
And did you vote for the referendum in 2007?
I did.
And overall, what's your opinion of how things have progressed with that since then?
Well, I think that the new schools that have been built and renovations that have been done have made for better environments for kids to learn in. I think it's a difficult process. I went through it at Travis Elementary, and these are huge projects that have to be managed, and I've seen them complete the jobs that the the board and the district has promised to be done, and I think it's something that we need to continue doing until we have all of our schools operating at the highest level.
Do you believe that enough public input on what was in the referendum had been sought prior to the referendum itself? That was the main point of contention on the referendum and the main reason why some people opposed it.
No, I don't believe enough public input or enough information was disseminated. I think a lot of things that have come about in these situations that have come about through the bond program involve closing neighborhood schools or consolidating them to make one new facility from two smaller ones, and that these schools are historically hubs and places within communities that are struggling. And I think that it's the responsibility of the superintendent and the board to go in and make the people that live there and are using those schools and participating in aware of what the proposed changes are and why they will be beneficial to their communities in the end. Because nobody wants to see their neighborhood school closed. I think it's scary and threatening and confusing, and it puts people in a position where they think it's just one more loss for their neighborhood. And I think it's important for the people making these decisions to be out there and having the tough conversations and explaining and offering information as to why those decisions have been made.
As you know, there's a mayor's race going on as well, and education has become an issue in the mayor's race, with at least a couple of the major candidates offering platforms on things they would do as mayor to improve education in Houston. What, if anything, do you think is the role that Houston city government should have in the schools, not necessarily HISD's business, but the schools, and improving education in Houston?
Well, I think the city is critical in participating and supporting not only HISD, but the other districts that are surrounding, and that they need to be creating policy and making their government accessible to the districts and communicating so that we can support each other to make Houston a better place overall.
What role do you think principals have to play in improving schools? Do you believe that it's better for principals to be strong and autonomous and to have the freedom to experiment, or do you believe principals should take direction from the board?
I believe it's important that principals have autonomy. I like the way that our principals have a budget and they're able to make decisions within their school. I think that it's necessary, though, that they have the support and leadership and guidance from the upper administration so that they can make those decisions possible, and that when they come up against roadblocks or challenges, that they have the support of the higher up administration. But I do think that it's important that principals have the freedom to implement innovative ideas within their own school communities. That one of the great things about HISD is that we have school choice, and we have schools that have different personalities or can offer special programs that appeal to families and parents and children and tap into each kid's educational potential. And I think while we allow our principals to remain autonomous, they can continue to develop those programs and implement different things to make their own school successful.
Give me your assessment of how you think HISD schools are doing from a standardized test perspective. We got a report from the state that showed one thing, we got a report from the federal government that showed something else, and the two weren't really in agreement with each other. Talk to me a little bit about that. Why is that, and where are we in greater need of improvement?
Well, I'm not well versed on that disparity. I have seen that we have improved in the TEA ratings. We have increased by 50% our academically exemplary and acceptable elementary schools. We've made increases on middle and high schools. Personally, I think that those ratings aren't enough. I think that we've shown great prowess in being able to get kids ready to pass minimum standards tests, but I think we need to be giving them more muscle and from a very early age, so that's just a given that we're getting recognized in exemplary ratings. And I think that we need to continue looking at our schools that are teaching kids at commendable levels and what they're doing there, and look at the schools that aren't achieving that, and look at the communities so that we can provide and identify needs that need to be met, engage with our parents to get kids in the door ready and available to learn from a very early age.
You've mentioned that you're a parent with children at Travis Elementary. Mm-hmm. Travis, of course, was in the news a few months ago due to swine flu concerns, where the school was actually shut down before the end of the school year. Tell me a little bit about that. Do you think that was handled properly? And, you know, do you think it is? Do you think that was handled properly? And in a similar situation next year, you know, would you as a board member want to see it handled in the same way?
My daughter was actually in the initial cluster of kids where the outbreak was at Travis, and it was in the midst of the whole swine flu outbreak and scare. My older son was at Hamilton Middle School, and his school had been closed for 2 days a couple weeks earlier. And kids didn't end up breaking out with the illness. Now, at Travis, we just saw this rapid explosion of illness, and I think it was really scary for our community. Luckily, the kids recovered quickly. It was mild, but the fact that the contagion spread so quickly was overwhelming and scary for the community. I would have liked to see early communication coming out faster to the parents, but I also understand that the people involved had to gather information before they started passing it out to the parents. And I think there were so many different entities working on it. We had the city health department, we had the principal, we had the administration, and parents were scared and they were worried, and I think in the end, closing school for 2 weeks was a really long time, but I think that the people involved were doing the best they could with the information they had. And as soon as they had the information, they began disseminating it through the ConnectEd phone system, through our email system, and they were very receptive to community input. I personally emailed different people in the community to give my perspective on what I was hearing from different parents, and I know that other people were doing that as well, and as fast as they could turn it around, they were giving information back out to the community. And they were also receptive to parents' concerns about how much school our kids had missed, because our kids had missed 2 weeks in the fall for Ike, and then we had 2 weeks coming at the end of the year. And within 10 days, they were on it, and they had planned summer enrichment programs for kids who were ready to be promoted to the next grade. But their parents or their teachers were concerned about the time that they had lost in the classroom. And I think our teaching staff was confident that they had given our kids the what they needed to move into the next year, but I think the district and the principal were very responsive to providing extra enrichment for people that were concerned about it.
As you know, as you mentioned, the incumbent trustee in District I, Natasha Camerani, is not running for another term. Give me your assessment of her as HISD trustee and how you think you would be like her or not like her as her successor.
I have great respect for Natasha. She's a neighbor of mine. I've gotten to know her through my involvement with the schools and as she's been on the board. I think that she has worked diligently for kids. She believes that public education is a civil rights issue, and I'm in total agreement with her on that. think that she hasn't been afraid to put herself out there on issues that she's believed strongly on, and I would hope I could follow in that role. I would like to build alliances. I'd also like to come to the table. I believe I come to it with an open mind. I have a lot of information from watching decisions and things that have been made over the years, but I have my own experiences in this community and the system, and I would approach it with an open mind and get to know the different board members and what they bring to the table and be committed to work together and build alliances, not only with my fellow board members, but with other entities within that operate within the district.
When people come to vote in this election in November, why should they vote for you and not one of your opponents?
I think they should vote for me because I am committed to educate myself, to interact with the community, and do the best job possible to provide our children with the best education that they can. I think I bring a wealth of community experience. I think I also bring a perspective as a partner in the system, but not someone who has worked for a long time from the inside. And I think I have an ability to communicate with different people and build consensus, and I would do my very best to work to make HISD the best school district that it can be.
Anna Eastman, thank you very much for talking to me today.
Thank you, Charles.